Welcome to Torah Timecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shalvi Friedman, and today we will be studying Iyov, Perek Beis, the second Perek. We discussed so far how Iyov has begun to be struck by tragedy, despite his greatness and his impressive character traits. For some reason, Hashem deems it fit to agree with the Satan and inflict Iyov in suffering. And so at the beginning of the story in Perek Aleph, we saw how he lost his wealth, he lost his crops, he lost his animals, he lost his servants, and also he lost his children. Perek Beis opens to a scene that actually appears in Perek Aleph 2. The scene opens with Vayehi Hayom, it was the day, Vayavou B'nei HaElokim Lihityatzev Al Hashem, and the Malachim are coming to stand in the heavenly courts with Hashem. Ve'yavo gam ha-satan b'tocham. And the Satan comes amongst them, li'hityatzev al Hashem, to stand amongst Hashem. And the Mefarshim comment how in the Perek before, even though the Satan is invited into God's heavenly court, the words used are slightly different. In other words, if you look in Perek Aleph, the way it describes the Satan's inclusion in the group of angels, of heavenly beings, is Vayavo gam ha-satan b'tocham. He also is added on. But in Perek Beis, we're told, not just he's also there, but he's also there lehityatzev al Hashem. He has now been given a position of higher standing in the courts. He too is standing amongst the angels. He's not just coming in through the back door, so to speak. And maybe the reason for that is because we know that the Satan, just at the beginning, as we know, Hashem warns Cain of this kind of relationship with the Satan. Bepetach chatas rovetz, the Satan, sin, the Yetzirah, seems to dwell at the outside. Ve'elecha tshukato, but it wants in fully. And even though at the beginning, when the Satan begins to appear, it seems to be somewhat of an outsider, as we get into bed with the Satan, so to speak, things become more and more alarming. And now the Satan is standing with Hashem. And Hashem turns to the Satan and says, Emi ze tavo, where are you coming from? And Hashem turns to the Satan, he says, Hasamta libcha l'avdi Iyov? Haven't you seen Iyov? Last time I spoke to you about Iyov, you said that he wasn't righteous for the right reasons. And if we suffer, if we cause him suffering, he will turn back and he will change his mind and he will not be as righteous as I think he is. But look, odenu machzik b'tumato, he is still holding on to his righteousness. And the next four words of the Sefer, the Gemara says, if they weren't written, we wouldn't be able to say them because they're so difficult to hear. And it says, V'tisiteni bo livloach chinam. I have allowed you to cause him suffering for no reason. And this, as we said last perek, is really the alarming question that we have from the first two prakim, is what is the point? Why is Iyov suffering? And how could it possibly be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, after round one of suffering, agrees that there was no point to the suffering? But we'll deal with those questions later on. And the Satan famously responds, Perek Pasuk Dalet, Or ba'ad or, v'chol asher la'ish yiten ba'ad nafsho. A human being would do anything to save their own flesh. In other words, yes, Hashem, Iyov is still holding on and maintaining his righteous stature. But maybe it's because the only affliction that he has experienced has been to his belongings. And what's troubling here is the children seem to be an extension of his belongings, which is an interesting and difficult to swallow pill. And we'll deal with that closer to the end of the parak. But maybe that's as Rav Soloveitchik says, that he doesn't fully empathize and see his children as being people outside of the realm of his entity and his self. Either way, the Satan turns and he says, Ulam, however, shlach na yadcha vega et atzmo. However, if you afflict him, Iyov himself, then you'll see he's going to really lash out. He's not going to stay as righteous as you think he is. And Hashem says, fine, you can do whatever you want to him. Ach et nafsho shmor, but don't kill him. And here the Satan has free reign on Iyov and can afflict Iyov with whatever he wants. Iyov, who a perek ago has lost everything except his own body, here he's going to be smitten with another incredible, incredible plague. In fact, Chazal explained that this plague is Shechin Mitzrayim. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Torah says to Bnei Yisrael, if you don't follow the mitzvahs, and there's all the klalos that are going to come. One of those klalos is the Shechin Mitzrayim, which is going to be an incredible, painful type of boil that goes from your head to your toes. It's uncomfortable, it's painful, it's terrible. And this is what Iyov is going to be afflicted with. And what's interesting at this point is that Iyov, it seems, is beginning to crack. Because despite the fact that he remains righteous, we'll see the people around him are falling apart, and maybe Iyov himself begins to fall apart too. So here we have, suddenly he gets afflicted with this terrible, terrible, painful disease. Rav Schwab describes this disease as an acute disease characterized by the formation of irregular, scattered, variously sized, round or oval blebs, from that of a small pea to that of a hen's egg, blisters, arising suddenly and unexpectedly from the skin, and which is usually accompanied by constitutional disturbances, burning and pains, ache and pains in the bones and joints, lack of appetite, diarrhea, depression, and general malaise. It is fatal in 90% of cases. The Malbim describes how the pain on the bottom part of his body was different to the pain of the top part of his body, and that which reduced the pain at the bottom of his body wouldn't help the top, and he is so overcome with agony at this pain that he takes a sharp shard of clay, it seems, to scratch himself at the top, and he sits in ashes, either as a sign of mourning perhaps, or maybe he's just sitting in ashes to cool down his body from the terrible, terrible pain that he's in. And his wife, Aneshet Iyov, is an interesting character. She appears once in the Sefer. She doesn't have much to say, but the stuff she has to say is pretty ruthless. His wife goes up to him and says to him, Iyov, why on earth are you still staying righteous? Give it all up. Barech Elokim v'mot. Just give it up, curse God and die. It's enough already. Meaning curse God, because if the only reason why you're holding on to your righteousness, like the Ralbag says, is on the off chance that God will punish you if you don't, well, look, he's punishing you, so give it up. Or maybe Barech Elokim v'mot is he'll allow you to die. Maybe he's waiting for you to do something worse. And then if you really go all out and curse God, then he'll let you die, and at least you'll be dead and won't have to suffer this miserable, terrible reality. And Iyov reprimands her and says, you're a horrible person for saying one of these things. You're like one of those people who are speaking appropriately about God. He says, what? Should we receive only the good from God and be thankful when God gives us good, but when he gives us bad, our faith falls apart? And the pasuk tells us, "Bechol zot, despite all of this tremendous suffering, lo chata Iyov b'sfatav. Iyov does not curse Hashem with his lips." And here we once again have a distinction between Perek Aleph and Perek Beis, because Perek Aleph tells us, "Lo chata Iyov." Iyov does not sin. But in Perek Beis, it tells you, lo chata Iyov b'sfatav, he does not sin superficially in his words. But maybe that sin is beginning to creep into him, and he is beginning to feel the fray of his faith internally. I will point out that according to the Ramban, these two episodes, episode one of the loss of his children and belongings and episode two of his own painful disease, take place on, the pasuk says, Vayehi Hayom, and the Ramban understands that to be Rosh Hashanah and then later Yom Kippur. In other words, these are 10 days apart that he experiences this incredible, and you can't imagine what he's going through. But he has three friends. He has three friends who come to visit him from far away. And Chazal asks, and there's a beautiful piece where of Chaim Shmulevitz, where he asks in Sichos Musar, where he asks, one second, if Hashem has allowed the Satan free reign on poor Iyov to do with him whatever he wants, then why doesn't he kill his friends? Suddenly he has three friends who show up, and we're thinking, but if he's meant to be suffering the most tremendous suffering, then where are these friends coming from, and why were they not afflicted as an extension of Iyov's suffering like his children were? And Rav Chaim Shmulevitz answers a famous line which we know from the Gemara Megillah, from the Gemara Tanis, which is, O chavrusa o mitusa, because remember Hashem's one rule to the Satan was you can't kill him. You can cause him suffering, Iyov, but you can't break him to the point that he dies. And says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, if he were to lose all of his friends, then he would have died. That would have been too much. And we have this image of these friends coming from far away to visit Iyov, And on the one hand, we are flabbergasted by the suffering that he's been through. And on the other hand, we're encountering a part of Eov that needs his friends and that is staying alive, holding onto the thread of the fact that these friends are coming to give him a Shiva visit. And in fact, many of the halachas of Shiva we learn from these first two prakim of Sefer Eov. The three friends come to visit. It tells you their names. Their names are Eliphaz HaTemani, Bildad HaShuchi, and Sofar HaNaamati. And we're going to talk about each one of those in their right time. And they come to comfort him. And when they see him merachok, from a distance, v'lo akiruhu, they didn't even recognize him. In a mere 10 days, he's gone from being a man of stature to a nobody, to a broken human being. And they see it, v'yivku, and they cry out. And they tear their clothes. Here we learn some of the halachas of kriya. And they come and they sit with him for shivas yamim, for shivas leilot, for 7 nights and 7 days. Once again, we're having this image of Shiva, v'ein dover alav, and they don't speak to him. One of the halachas we know of Shiva is that when you go to make a Shiva visit, one doesn't speak to the mourner. One waits until the mourner speaks to him. And that's partly learned out from these three friends who come and they sit for 7 days and they don't speak until Eov does. One of the things which is so striking in this perek and in last perek is that on the one hand, we're pretty impressed by Eov's, even if it's just that he's not sinning b'sfatav externally in his words, either way, the fact that he's able to go through such incredible suffering and remain consistently committed to God is incredibly impressive. And yet, we do feel a little bit of discomfort and uncomfortable feelings in that he doesn't cry. He doesn't express any amount of angst or unhappiness. And maybe we ask ourselves, is being faithful to God and having full emunah, being absolutely steadfast, without a drop of a tear, without a groan, without a cry, or is maybe part of a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu also about turning to Hashem, as we see throughout Sefer Tehillim, and say, Hashem, marabut sarai, this is really hard, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why is this happening to me? But Eov doesn't do that. Eov goes from silence. The only people crying out are his wife, in a rather radical form of curse out God and let's finish this, or his friends who scream and cry at his suffering because he's in so much pain. But Eov himself is stoic and doesn't comment until he does. And Perek Gimel is going to open with a ferocious, angry, resentful, and almost doubtful Eov, which we're going to tackle in the next video. But for now, Eov is silent. He is with his friends, but he certainly is not being comforted by his friends. And that really, Perek Aleph and Beis concludes the story part of Sefer Eov for now. And Perek Gimel, which we'll do tomorrow, will begin Eov's philosophical approach to life.